Now, over the course of the movement, this tune returns a number of times, like a refrain. Ultimately, like a dog fed scraps from the dinner table, this theme just won't go away. Playing on our expectations, Haydn appears to bring the movement to its natural conclusion, or so we think. But the music just won't stop! And when the movement finally does stop, when it finally does end, it ends halfway through the theme at a most unexpected moment. We turn to the person sitting next to us and we say, "Is it over? Is it over?" Finally, the players, who have been holding their bows up to extend our confusion, put their bows down. Is it over? Well, yes, Virginia, it's over, and Haydn has scored a major gotcha. Please, let's listen just to the concluding 45 seconds, and you will indeed ask yourselves, is it over? And indeed, it will be. Is it over? Is it over? Yes, indeed, it's over. Now look, this sort of musical humor corresponds exactly to Samuel Johnson's definition of the word amuse. To quote Dr. Johnson, to draw on from time to time, to keep in expectation, to divert in order to gain or waste time, to entertain with expectations not to be fulfilled. By way of conclusion in regards to Haydn's string quartets, in terms of the independence of instrumental voices, thematic character, harmonic usage, phrase and form, expressive content, flexibility and range, Haydn's quartets became the standard by which all other classical string quartets were and still are measured. We move on to Haydn's symphonies, numbers 73 through 92. The symphonies Haydn composed during the 1780s, numbers 73 through 92, did for the genre of symphony what the string quartets of those same years did for the genre of string quartet. They represent a richly varied, expressively balanced form, a body of work that become the standard by which all other symphonies were measured. Haydn's symphonies of the 1780s used the same technique of thematic development witnessed in his quartets and demonstrate as well the growing influence of Wolfgang Amadei Mozart on Haydn's music. Haydn's symphonies numbers 82 through 87 are collectively known as the Paris Symphonies because they were commissioned by the directors of the Concert de la Loge Olympique in Paris. By the early 1780s, Haydn's music had gained wide popularity in Paris among both popular and learned listeners. Now, I would just make an aside here. This is a very hard thing to do at any time and any place, and that is write music, create music that appeals to both a popular audience and a rather more snobbish and sophisticated audience. But that's what we're saying Haydn's music managed to do by the 1780s, and nowhere was that more apparent than in Paris. Like most of the music Haydn composed during the mid-1780s on, these symphonies, these so-called Paris symphonies, were published almost immediately and thus circulated quickly and widely across Europe. Of these remarkable symphonies, Bernard Harrison writes the following. The Paris symphonies are fully representative of the late 18th century Haydn cult, which acknowledged Haydn's status as a genius and saw the growing importance of instrumental music in general and the German symphony in particular. It is one of the happy coincidences of the last decades of the 18th century that Haydn's mature symphonic style became the universal representation of the new status of the public symphony. In them, the various demands of popular entertainment and the learned aesthetic theory of the Enlightenment found common ground. and in each work, Haydn strikes a new and finely judged balance between a popular style, that is, making this music accessible, and a progressive musical language, unquote.